Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It is Wednesday at 4 o'clock, which means we are joined by the great Brian Baldinger, our Odyssey NFL insider host, the best football show podcast, Insider Calls, brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Baldy, what up, man?
Well, hello, Spike and Ike. How are you guys? I'm doing good, man. Good to be with you all.
What's up, Baldy?
So, Baldy, another week... Another A.J. Brown tweet, which has, you know, for a 4-0 football team, we sure find ways after wins to find some sort of controversy. Do you have any opinion or insight on A.J.'s sort of public frustration with, or apparent public frustration of getting the football more often?
Well, they threw it to him the last five passes of the game.
Yeah.
In the last five, the last play of the third quarter and four plays in the fourth quarter, they threw it to him. And, you know, he was open. I mean, they threw a deep shot to him out of bounds.
Yep.
They threw three deep shots all day. None of them were in bounds, so bad throws. Benjamin Morrison was sitting on top of him. They kind of overthrew him a little bit. But there really wasn't a whole lot of room there. I mean, they threw to him on first down, second down, third down, that stretch to the start of the fourth quarter. And they were, you know, three incompletions. And then, you know, they had a blitz there late in the fourth quarter. The Bucs were trying to get the ball back, and he was the hot read on the play, and he didn't really win the route. And, you know, Zion McCollum was sitting right on top of him, and I don't know, it wasn't a good throw either. So, I mean, he'd be frustrated, but, you know, some of these, they only threw it 24 times, Spike. And, you know, nine of them were against the blitz. And Jalen's, like, going to the hot guy. And most of the time, he's actually going to the right guy, especially early in the game.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's what Todd Bowles wants to do. They knew that. They had a pretty good plan for it. But, you know, two of the blitzes that he threw to was to A.J., and they didn't complete them.
So, you know, we're four games in. I think A.J.'s averaging about 35 yards a game.
You can't look at it like that.
Why not?
You're like, you know, when they're down, I don't mean to cut you off.
Yeah,
but
it's
like,
all right.
When they're down 26-7 and they got to go play ball, where'd the ball go to? It went to AJ. I mean, they're up 24-3. Like, there's not a real need to go to AJ or to take deep shots or to put the ball in the harm's way in the middle of the field. And so the quarterback's not going to do that. But, you know, if you're sitting on the lead like they have been against Dallas, against Tampa, whatever, for the most part against Kansas City, it just shows you that they're not going to put the ball in harm's way and take any chances at that point.
Yeah, I actually thought, Baldy, coming out the locker room and seeing exactly what the passing game looked like in that second half, you know, I don't know what happened at halftime. I'm not in the locker room. But it certainly seemed like they made a concerted effort to try to get A.J. the ball in the second half. Like, so when the coaches are saying, yeah, we know how important he is and we try to make him a priority, it certainly seems like that's what they have attempted to do. And to your point, there was only 24 throws in the entire game anyway. Like, I mean, that's a good point. That's a good point to make. There's only 24 throws in the game. He got nine of them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, he caught his first pass.
Yeah.
With a minute and 59 seconds to go in the second quarter. They're in total control of the game. He looked like he was, you know, I mean, it was a good route. He's going against the rookie, Benjamin Morrison. You know, physically just, you know, out-muscled him for the ball. Looked like he was pretty pumped. And then you're right. You know, they took some shots. down the field, they weren't good shots. I mean, honestly, I got to see him throw balls from Jalen. He's usually pretty good. At least give the guy a chance to go up and win the jump ball. But the ball's, you know, ending up 5 yards out of bounds, nobody's going to make that. You know, Randy Moss is going to catch that ball. So, you know, I thought they took some shots. It wasn't exactly. I thought there was one play, honestly, in the whole 24, you know, play passing game, there was one shot he definitely, I thought Jalen could hit him. And it was on the, when he rolled out and he hit Smitty on that 22-yard sort of scramble drill. Yeah. I thought he could have hit A.J. in stride. The safety was in the other, the safety was Tyke Smith. He was on the other side of the field. A.J. won, you know, the bang eight against him. They could have taken a deep shot right there for sure. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that might have satiated him for a little bit. But, you know, that's, that, you know, I think, you know, it's really hard. Like, if you just compare last year to this year, I know they're different. Yeah. But last year, they were 2-2 at this time. And Jalen threw 4 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. And everybody was like, you know, they wanted Nick gone, right? Their bye week was week 5, all that stuff, right, Spike?
Yep.
And then, you know, this year they're 4-0, and Jalen's 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. They've turned it over one time as a team. It's really hard to be 4-0. Only Buffalo's the other team doing that. Like, and I think, you know, Kevin Petullo and Jalen and AJ, I think they're all kind of still figuring things out what they're good at.
Yeah.
And so, no, I think they're in a good spot, honestly. Like, they could go on a real tear, you know, if they just really try to tweak things just a little bit right now.
I think most people, and even myself as a former player who's also a fan of the team, are a little concerned that AJ may not be happy, right, that they're 4-0 in the tweet and what does it mean, and is there something there with him and Jalen. I think – that's most of the conversation we've gotten this week is, oh, my God, we're 4-0. Why isn't everybody happy? And we're not talking about fans. We mean guys on the team. Right? Like, why aren't people just happy on the team that they're 4-0?
Well, I think, you know, AJ is a different guy, right?
Yep.
So I've talked to him about this before. And his mentality, like, honestly, you know, he has the mentality of, you know, a defensive lineman. Like, he wants to be Myles Garrett as a receiver. He wants to just physically dominate his opponents. But he can only do it if he gets the opportunity like he did, you know, basically in the second half against the Rams.
Yeah.
And Emmanuel Forbes and Darius Williams, it was a joke. They couldn't cover him. They couldn't tackle him. And he took the game over. That's what he wants to do. Like, I think, like, you know, you can throw Dallas Goedert an underhanded pass and score a touchdown, AJ's not going to get excited. He's just not. Because he's not that he's not excited in the fact that they're winning. If he was playing on Tennessee again and they were 0-4, I guarantee he'd be really unhappy. But, you know, if I think there's just some level of balance. Like, he just wants to, the same way that Mulata just wants to drill people into the dirt, that's how AJ wants to, that's what he wants to do to defensive backs.
Right.
And if he doesn't get that chance to do it, like he did on the slant against Benjamin Morrison, where he just physically won the route.
Right.
Like, it kind of frustrates him.
Yeah, and we've been frustrated with him, you know, pretty much for 4 weeks when you just look at the overall passing game. We talk so much about AJ and the focal point being on him, but it's really, like, it's not like anyone else is getting a whole lot of targets and catches in the passing game either. Right, I mean, so it's not like he's not getting his touches at the expense of somebody else getting it. I guess we'll hear from him in a little bit here because I guess he'll speak to the media. I think most people are just more concerned that he's good with being here and that this won't somehow derail the team moving forward.
I think there's probably, I mean, you know, like, I'm not trying to sugarcoat this thing, but I mean, there is frustration with the offense, right? There's no doubt.
Yep.
I mean, you know, his first catch is a hitch route that makes no sense. There's nobody to block the guy that's covering, right? Smitty's going down the field to block his guy. Like, they want Mulata to go out there and block the guy that's covering AJ. Like, it's a dumb throw. I mean, it's a dumb play. Not that Jalen made a dumb throw. But, like, you know, it's a 2-yard loss, and he's just throwing the ball up like, this is what I'm getting? Like, this is... I'm the most physically, like, in his mind, I'm T.O., I'm the most physically dominant receiver in this league, and this is what I'm getting, this is the bone I'm getting, this hitch route with nobody blocking the guy covering me.
Yeah.
Like, he was just frustrated, you know?
Yeah.
I don't blame him. I'd be frustrated too.
So, you know, one thing we got really used to last year was a dominant offensive line and a dominant Saquon. And we haven't actually seen either of those things so far this year. What are you seeing? You know, we talk to Jordan Mailata every week, and he seems to think that they're very close. He says, we're one block away, it's an execution issue. When you're watching the Eagles' offensive line so far this year, what are you seeing that is preventing them from dominating in the same way that they dominated last year?
Well, I mean, look, if you look at just Saquon, I mean, I think if Saquon was on here right now, like one cut, he slipped on the ground,
yep.
Okay, negative loss. One, he missed the hole. Like, you know, it's the same route, the same play they ran a ton of times last year, Tyler Steen, lane or pulling. And the outside lane is open, and it's a home run hit, and he went inside. For whatever reason, nobody can tell any running back what they see, what they don't see. But if he does stay outside, like he's going to be in the alley, he's going to run a long ways. So that's some of it. He had a couple, you know, seven-yard runs. There was a little bit of a gap there. Mm-hmm. He hit it just fine. They're not the runways that he got last year.
Yeah.
To Mailata's point, they're pretty close to getting that runway where if he hits it with his type of speed, like he's going to run a long ways. You know, if you look at you know, like the 13-yard touchdown run he had, I guess, against Kansas City. I mean, if that play was from 70 yards away, he would have scored from 70. You know, nobody touched him.
Yeah.
And, you know, even the touchdown run on, you know, the tush-push, you know, that which was a clever call. I mean, if they did that tush-push from midfield, he would have scored from 50. So some of those runs that he scored on last year was just, you know, it's just a lot closer to the goal line right now.
Yeah.
So let's go on to the defensive side, which, they gave up some yards on Sunday, but it looked to me, aside from the couple of big plays, like they played really, really well. And one of the guys that played maybe his best game was Quinyon Mitchell. When you're watching Quinyon Mitchell, what is going through your mind as you see him? Because I really thought, I don't know if you can play a better game than he played last week.
Well, that's the best quarterback play of any corner in the league this year, including Surtain, which you'll see this week. I mean, it's the best cornerback play that anybody has seen. Like, I mean, that's a great receiver, Abuka. He's a great, great player. He's going to have a great career. And he's smart. And he's everything you want at that position. And he threw a blanket on him. And what he does is the same thing that he did at Toledo. Like, he wins with his feet. And he wins with his eyes. He's not a grabber. I saw him grab a jersey one time. He got away with it. But that's a veteran move. That's what Slay did his whole life. It's what they do. Sometimes you get called. Sometimes, you know. It's in the right spot. The guy can't see it. You kind of slow him down a little bit. He was literally a teach tape on how to play corner. Everything from sitting on top of the receivers in zone to, you know, sitting on the upfield shoulder and man to the break on the ball is just a mad break. There's just, he sees it so fast. His reaction time is so fast. How he plays the ball in the air or how he plays it once the ball's in the receiver's hands. And how he gets it out.
Yeah.
Like, that's the best cornerback play of anybody I've seen all year.
The thing that was so impressive to me is the balls that Mayfield were throwing were on the money. I mean, they were right on Ibuka's hands. And Mitchell just found a way to get to the ball, or it was really something special. So the Eagles opened up the practice window on N'Kobe Dean today. And N'Kobe played really, really well last year. What do you do with him? You know, Jahad Campbell's been so good. Is there a way to move Campbell around to get Dean in there? What do you think they do with Dean back?
I mean, maybe Vic creates a package where Jahad comes off the edge a little bit and they play a little three linebacker set. But Denver's not a big tight end team. They're a big wide receiver team, 11 personnel. You know, they like to throw it, and they do it a lot of different ways. It would make no sense. Like, Kansas City will put three linebackers out there in the field. If they feel like you're a good running team, if you're going to play a lot of two and three tight ends, they'll play all three of their linebackers. But they're going to just match up against your personnel and your personnel groupings. So, I mean, it's tough. I mean, they drafted Jahad. It was the right pick. He's a great player, and he's just getting started. So N'Kobe is the backup. He's going to play special teams. When you play goal line and short yardage and you get that type of personnel in the field, he's going to get a chance to do what he does, which is, you know, he's a mad hitter out there. He's going to get a chance to blow some guys up. But it's going to be tough to get on there with the way, obviously, the way Zach plays is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And what Jihad is just, you know, getting into, it's going to be tough to find him snaps right now.
So Sunday, we have the Broncos. Broncos were, you know, I hate to say the phrase trendy pick, but everybody...
They were.
There was a lot of trendy pick for the Broncos this year. Haven't played, one big on Monday night, but haven't played quite as well, offensively at least, as I think they want to. What are you looking at when you... The things that we should focus on the most when we're looking at Sunday, Eagles and Broncos?
Well, they have great playmakers on defense. Nick Benito and Jonathan Cooper are really good. Zach Allen led the league in quarterback hits last year. They have Vance Joseph does a great job of moving guys around. You could put Surtain on A.J. Brown. You're going to see that for sure, but you might put him on his ex-teammate, Devontae Smith. They know each other really well. They've got flexibility with what they do defensively, and they do a lot. They'll bracket coverage. They'll blitz. They'll rush five on first down. I mean, play man behind it, play zone behind it. They do a lot defensively and then offensively. Bo Nix is a great athlete, and his movement is really good. And Sean Payton is his play calls, especially even on Monday night against Cincinnati. I know Cincinnati's not a great defense, but like some of his play calls, some of play calling is based on the predictability of what defense you're getting and what coverage you're going to get, and attacking that predicted coverage. And there's nobody better than him. And they've got every single play that's been drawn up by man since in 105 years on that play sheet of his that he could call. And this young kid knows how to execute it. Like, they're good. They're really good. Now they lost, on a bad kick, against the Colts.
Yeah.
And the Chargers are a good team. They came back in the fourth quarter. So, they've got some blemishes on the record, but they can play as good as anybody on Sunday in this league right now.
All right, Baldy. It's an interesting game. I think the Broncos lead the league in sacks. For an Eagles offense that has...
Well, they led the league in sacks last year, and they've got 14 this year. And it can come from... I'll say this. The takeoff of Benito and Cooper is the fastest takeoff for a duo in this league. Like, now, Lane and Malata are excellent at their sets, but, that was a challenge for Cincinnati on Monday night. They couldn't get out of their stances, and these guys were buying.
All right, Baldy. Looking forward to talking to you next week and talking about the Broncos.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Appreciate it, brother.
Yep. Thanks, Baldy.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. The ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep. People, man, there is a lot of criticism of the routes that the Eagles wide receivers are running right now.
Yeah.
Nationwide, everywhere. Here, the analysts that are online, the national guys, and Baldy just did it there.
Yeah.
I at a certain point, you're going to have to, the question, and I think the question has been asked widely, and we've been wondering, but like, Kevin Petullo at some point is going to get a spotlight on him.
Yeah.
As with a guy with, And Nick Sirianni by association, because this was Nick's pick and Nick's guy, and you know they did not even interview anybody else. So
he was the guy.
He was the guy, and there's no, people keep saying it's early. There is no excuse for a guy who has been in the building for 4 years. To get it perfect, I get it.
Sure,
but it just shouldn't be as disjointed as it is now. We should not have halves where we have negative passing yards. We shouldn't have two halves
with
negative
passing
yards.
That really is.
Two full halves with negative net passing yards in four games.
That's hard to believe. It's unbelievable.
It seems crazy.
With this caliber of talent.
And whether we have a lead or not.
It don't matter. Yeah.
We're not up 40 points, you know. Yes. It's just, what a crazy year it's been. By the way, Baldy's call, Baldy, our Odyssey NFL insider, host of the Best Football Show podcast, Insider Calls, brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. I think the N'Kobe Dean thing, I feel bad for N'Kobe Dean because this is the last year under contract.
Yeah.
And with the way he played last year, I thought we looked at the pair of those two guys and said, okay, there's a future. N'Kobe Dean wasn't able to stay healthy previous to last year, had such a great year, but this is just bad luck for him.
Yeah, no, that injury last year really hurt him because then it really forced the Eagles to re-sign Zach Bond.
Yes.
Like they basically had to re-sign Zach Bond. He was the only legitimate linebacker you had at that time. And so, you know, to get Jahad Campbell to fall to them had to be, and there were reports they were trying to move up to get him.
And he's a beast, by the way. Campbell's a beast.
Yeah. And so they targeted him as a linebacker. I just don't know where N'Kobe goes.
It's just bad luck.
It's just unfortunate.
It's really bad luck.
We waited for years for N'Kobe to get out there, and last year he finally was out there, and he was healthy for the majority of the year. He got hurt in the playoffs, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you get all the way to the playoffs, and then you get injured. Yeah, it really sucks for him. He's a good kid. You know, he's a good leader. He was the vocal guy on that side. He wants to keep all those Georgia Bulldogs corralled.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? You got Smile London, you got Jeremiah there, and then you got Zach, and you got Jahad Campbell.
Well, and
it's tough.
It just sucks for him to hear. He played as well as he did last year.
Yeah.
And what Baldy said is true. You're going to have special teams. You're going to be a backup.
Yep. No, it is. And you got to be ready because you never know when
something happens.
Yes, you never know.
And I'm not wishing this on him. Jahad Campbell came into this year with injury concerns.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows what happens? He could get it. And I think, by the way, Smile Mondon or Jeremiah, if N'Kobe's healthy, I think N'Kobe probably slides in there if Jahad gets hurt, if he's healthy.
Yeah, I would think so.
I would guess. I would guess.
You never know with Vic, though.
Yes. You never know with Vic. 215-592-9494. Coming up next, the Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings. And you can't go anywhere because the Eagles locker room is opening up in the next 10 minutes after practice. And A.J. Brown may be there, may not, may talk.
Does he speak?
But if he speaks, if he speaks, we will hear exactly what he said because Elliot's going to call us right away.
Right.
And if he doesn't speak, you will hear that he didn't speak, and you will hear that right away. So that is coming up next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Fritz will be with us at 5 o'clock for the top 5 at 5, and then he will be with you at 6 o'clock with James Seltzer to call the Phillies intra-squad game. By the way, you can't watch that anywhere, so you have to listen here on WIP as Fritz and James tell you what's going on. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's wants to wish our team good luck this October. Experience the difference with showrooms in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel. How about this one? Are you scared of the Dodgers? That is the newest Twitter question.
Well,
I'm just being honest. I am a little.
Yeah, I think you would have to be a little. They are defending champions. I would say this might be closer to 50-50, which really is a telltale sign that people really are still scared of them. Yeah, because you almost got to just chalk in 40% just out of fandom.
Yes.
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 So, yeah, I would go 55, 45 people aren't afraid.
Yeah, it's 58 now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Anybody
yeah.
with any sense is scared. Like, I'm not cowering. I'm not, oh, Fran. So Fran's with us because Fritz went down there. Are you scared of the Dodgers?
No, I'm saying people are frauds.
Oh,
58%
yes.
no. Or, come on, man.
Yeah, of See course you're scared night? Of the Dodgers. Yeah, that was terrifying
last night.
Yeah, it was terrifying. The guy hitting the home runs. Oh, he also pitches? What? And he's also really good?
The first at bat, let off the game.
I kind of want the Dodgers to just end it because I know this sounds crazy, I want Ohtani in the first game. Because I don't think, look, the Dodgers bullpen.
I was going to say, explain.
Well, the Dodgers bullpen is the probably the weakest part of their team.
Right.
I don't expect Ohtani to go more than 5 or 6 innings. So we almost have a guaranteed bullpen in 6 through 9.
Right.
And I don't feel that way. Blake Snell can go. The rest of their pitchers can go deep into the game. I don't think Ohtani will. Now, maybe he's just hiding it, and maybe he can, and maybe they just didn't do it this year. But that is.
I agree with you there.
I'd rather have Ohtani in the first game. And,
yeah.
You know, give us. I think it gives us a better chance to win the game because we get to the bullpen earlier.
Okay.
Now
I
him
like
hitting,
that.
I don't. You know, walk him.
Oh yeah, he hits.
Yeah.
You said walking.
Walk him.
Well, you know what? Whatchamacallit pitches well against him. Sanchez.
Sanchez does.
Yeah, he pitches
Sanchez
well
does.
Against him.
Yeah. So. I think Ranger. I feel like I don't know what the history is.
Well, the good thing is they're all lefties.
Yes.
Right. So.
Yes. Yeah. I guess that's the good thing. Yep.
I mean, as it pertains to him.
Yes, as it pertains to him. Yep.
Yeah.
We will get you the Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings in a moment. Also, as soon as we know what AJ said or didn't say, Elliot will join us immediately from the NovaCare facility. Immediately. He better not tweet before he calls us. He probably will. Anthony in Southwest Philly, you're on WIP. What's up, Ant?
Fellas, what's going on?
What's up, Ant?
Not much. Hey, man, listen, I'm enjoying the show. I've been listening for a couple of hours, and I think you guys have really been, like, hitting it on the head today, man. And I'll say this. This is when I call into you guys, this is the part I get frustrated about with this whole AJ stuff. And every time something comes up where it's like we're looking at Jalen, there has to be something wrong or not, you know, happening with Jalen, right? It would be like, you show up every day, right? Spike is there with you. You know what you're getting out of Spike every day. Spike, you know what you're getting out of Ike and Jack when he shows up.
Yep.
You guys know who you are.
Yes.
You don't come to work and you're like, oh, I expect for, you know, Ike to be Stephen A. Smith today. Like, that's not what he's coming to
do. Yeah, that's not what I do, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, yep. So... my thing is, I'm never calling in to say, you know, Jalen is Aaron Rodgers. I'm saying, AJ, you know who this guy, you know who Jalen is. Where he's when he needs to show up in big moments and throw the ball, he's going to do it. He's shown us that he can do it. But I'm never going to wake up. I'm not going to wake up tomorrow and be like, oh, I'm expecting Jalen to be, you know, Pat Mahomes when it comes to throwing the ball. No, when the big moments come up, whether it's the Super Bowl or 2022 when he needed, like, I know that he can do it. So I think the point was made earlier, which was a really good one about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to you guys about this last year, the same exact point. I haven't seen AJ and Jalen talk one time this year. Like, I'm looking at the games.
Yep.
I've gone to practices earlier in the preseason. I haven't seen them one time speak to each other. Kelsey speaking on that, the younger Kelsey, that's important. Like, as you know, like you said, you don't got to be best friends, but if there's not a respect factor there between your two top guys,
yeah,
and they can't even communicate with each other, that's bad.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Well, especially when there's a problem on the field. If they're not communicating at all, that I think that would be an issue. That's a hard thing to get around. That is not about being friends or any of those things. And to your point earlier, Anthony, about AJ knowing who Jalen is and how he plays, that's all true. The biggest question is going to be whether that's enough for AJ. Is what he wants at this point in his career.
Yep.
Whether it is and some people make it this really stark choice, this really between stats or winning. And I don't think he thinks about it that way. I don't think that AJ is saying to himself, well, I'd rather be on a bad team.
Right.
What goes through AJ's mind is this team would be better if I have the ball. I think it is very similar to how Jimmy Butler thinks.
Right.
Jimmy Butler doesn't just
by the way,
what?
We all agree with AJ.
Yes. We all agree with AJ. Yeah.
The team would be better if he had the ball.
One of the things I think about with Butler is Butler doesn't just want to win. Butler wants to be the reason they're winning. And if you're just winning, that's never been enough for him, which is why he sort of blows up in, you know, the third year of every place that he's at, because it's just it doesn't all add up for him. And I'm not saying AJ's Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler is a jerk. AJ does not seem to be one. But I think the question's going to end up being, is what this is enough for you personally? Yeah. Only he has that answer.
Yeah,
that's exactly right, and that's exactly why on the last show when I called into you guys, I said AJ's got to grow up, and the reason I say that is because of this. Again, we know who Jalen is. We there's no sign of Jalen changing who he is. Like he's been the same guy since he came to Philadelphia, and I think oftentimes what we talk about is, and you guys touched on it a little bit on the show, is Jalen's never going to come out and say, well, I don't like what Kevin Petullo's doing. He's not that kind of guy, right? So I think we got to talk more about, like, how much does Jalen trust what Kevin Petullo's doing? Like, how much does he, you know, how much faith does he have in what the voice that he's hearing in that headset every week? So, you know, for AJ, though, why I say he's got to grow up is for this reason. If you look at when they had a really good relationship, go back to 2022. We saw AJ smile and he was happy to come to the city.
Oh, man, they're doing the kid and play. Anthony, they're doing the kid and play dance out there at the touchdowns. Yeah, they're doing everything.
3,800 yards in the air that year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And we don't expect for AJ and Jalen to have that again, because it's obvious that their relationship is, you know, it is what it is at this point. But AJ's got to be smart enough to say, okay, I'm 28 years old. I'm going to contract for another couple of years. I may get another contract, but I ain't going to get another big one. I got my money. You know, we're winning. Let me figure out a way to dial into this guy somehow. And if he ain't doing that part right there, you play sports like,
they gonna move on. You had to make a choice. Yeah, you had to make a choice at some point.
Well, but the other thing here, Anthony, is he's not going to get a big contract again. I don't think AJ would think about that like that. And I actually don't believe that that's true. Terry McLaurin just got 3 years, $90 million at 31 years old.
No, I'm sorry. I take that back. I'm not saying he won't get a big contract again, but what I'm saying is that I don't think AJ is necessarily worried about the big contract right now. I think what you guys said, he's worried about his legacy at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
And, right.
You know, that's fair.
Yeah.
But in determining, looking at your legacy, look at who it is that you're depending on right now in this moment and deal with that as well, you know? So that's my only point, guys. I'll let you get to it.
Right. Nah, that's a great point, Anthony. It's going to be interesting to hear both guys speak today. You know, AJ.
Oh, yeah, because Jalen will talk probably around 5:30. Yeah, that's when he normally
AJ talks. AJ speaking on or clarifying what his tweet meant or what have you is one part of what I want to hear from him. Although I don't even really need him to, it's pretty clear to me what he was trying to say. I think what a lot of people want to know is, can you be happy here in Philadelphia and in this offense and wanting to be here? So hearing that from AJ, I think will calm fans down, right? We already know he's mad about the ball. That's no secret. So there's no need to dance around that part of it.
People are worried about him asking for a trade.
Yes, that's the thing I think people are sort of looking at. And then I would ask with Jalen, you know, as much as people want to know about his sort of chemistry with AJ, I would also like to hear from Jalen how much he's believing in what Kevin Petullo is doing offensively. Because I want to hear that answer. If he's like, yeah, coach is dialing up great plays, we got to do a better job to execute them, there's nothing wrong with the plays that we're calling, we believe in the system, we believe in KP, we need to do a better job. To me, that's the quarterback supporting the offensive coordinator.
Yes.
The same way when AJ has done it, when he's talked about the offense. He's like, nothing wrong with the offense, nothing wrong with the play calls, we need to do a better job.
Yes.
So I would like to hear that from Jalen's perspective, to know that he believes in the offense that they're running.
And, you know, previously I wouldn't have believed that Jalen would give an answer like that, but Jalen has been...
He's been a little more thoughtful. And
more talkative and more thoughtful. And less confrontational when you ask him a question like that.
And he has to realize that it's been a tumultuous 2 or 3 days here. You supporting your coaches and the offensive coaching staff will go a long way.
Yes.
In quieting some of this stuff down. Yep. Sometimes you just got to put it on you.
Yes. I got to do a better job.
I need to do a better job.
Yes. Watch some old Andy press conferences.
Yeah.
Sometimes
you got to do that.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to do that. And I think that would go a long way. So I would like to hear Jalen's thoughts on just him believing in the offense that they run. Forget about his relationship with Kevin Petullo. Dude, do you like the offense you're in?
Right.
The plays that you guys are running.
Yeah.
You've been here long enough. You're established enough. You can give us a truthful answer there.
Without throwing anybody under the bus.
Yes, without throwing anybody under the bus.
Now it's time for Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings. Jack, I know you love Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings. Are you with us?
Fritz there?
Yeah. This is the most important thing that's happening today. Yeah, right on time.
There he is.
Oh, the boys are taking some infield outfield right now?
All right, relax. You've plenty. So Jack is at Citizens Bank Park. He is.
The fans are filing in the playoff field.
That's at 6.
They're in the powder blue pants?
It's not now.
All right, my bad.
All right. I think they're 7-1 in the powder blues this year, by the way.
Wear them.
Yeah, they should wear them. Let's do the Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings.
Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings.
Now, given what has happened over the last couple of weeks, I actually think this is a big time for insiders.
Yep.
You know, this could be huge, you know.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Who gets the scoop on whatever happens
What's
here?
What's going on?
Yeah, so here are the power rankings. Speaking of Eagles insiders, again, you will hear right here on the show, Elliott Shore Parks, as soon as AJ is done speaking or not speaking, we will find out what he has to say or not say. At number 5, Jason Dumas.
All right.
6 ABC. Now, Jason seems to, now here could be a positive and a negative. Jason seems like he's in Jalen Hurts' back pocket.
Oh, yep. God. Wow. We're monitoring that, Jason. Don't think we're not watching.
But,
little too honky-dory with old Jalen.
But that could get him a scoop. Like, he got the Jordan Brand store here in Philadelphia.
That's right.
Yeah.
So,
maybe less of that and more working on the passing
game.
Who
has a Jordan Brand store?
There's going to be a Jordan Brand store. I guess Jalen was filming a commercial in Philadelphia.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
we're trying
to
win championships, I thought.
He had the backwards Kangol hat on, looking all Jalen'd up.
Okay.
So Jason Dumas at 5. Sliding down a couple of spots at number 4 is Elliott Shore Parks.
Wow.
He's still in the top 5.
He's still in there. He hadn't done it much.
No. I mean, it's really just respect that's getting him at number 4.
Yeah.
At number 3, I believe probably his first appearance in the Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings.
Who you got?
Hugh Douglas.
Yep. Big scoop.
Well, he said things.
How the hell did Hugh get in the pen?
He said he talked to some people close to the situation, and things between Jalen and AJ are, quote, bad.
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 Could also be belt-worthy.
Could be noteworthy.
Could be. No, he said belt-worthy.
Oh, belt-worthy. Oh, you never know. Doesn't he already have the belt?
He does.
Yeah.
What?
Wow.
Look
I didn't see this. Hugh Douglas.
Yeah.
Man,
well, look.
Who knew it?
He's coming into
he's
his
a
own
takesman,
here.
Yeah.
At number two is the favorite around these parts, Tim McManus.
Last year, he led the Eagles Insider of the Year in total points.
No, yeah, he led
no,
in,
total
first,
weeks.
In first and first place votes.
And he first did, place votes.
Yes. He got, even though Elliott won the award, Tim did get the most first place votes. I don't know if anybody else knows that. But Tim was the first person in the press conference on Monday to ask a question, and he asked a good question, and that was about the A.J. Brown tweet and whether he wanted to be here and so on and so forth. Normally, the first question is some nonsense we don't want to know about, but McManus used his access to get the people what they want, which is what an insider is supposed to do.
Wow.
And at number one, I believe if things go bad for the Eagles, is probably the biggest beneficiary. And that is Jeff McClain.
Nobody capitalizes
on Eagle strife more than Jeff McClain. Jeff McClain did have a report this week that A.J. Brown's tweet was definitely about people in the building at NovaCare.
Someone or someones.
Congratulations, number one, Jeff McClain. The Eagles led side of your power rank.
And Elliott with the, well, it definitely isn't about Petullo or Nick Sirianni.
Yeah, but we pressed him on that. And he said it's because he knows AG really likes those guys, and that is not a report.
And that's why he dropped the four, because it was a real half-assed report by Elliott Shortbarns.
Yeah, we could have had more from him, and we didn't.
Yeah.
He could have said sources said. He did not.
Got none of that. Got I'm there. Every, it was basically like his training camp stats. Well, yep.
I'm there and you're not.
Yep. 215-592-9494. John in Huntington Valley, you're on WIP.
Hey, hang on, guys. Let me put you on speaker.
No, yeah. Off speaker.
Yeah, off speaker. Okay. That's the goal.
All right, you there?
John, I got to put you on hold. Sorry.
Off speaker.
Very important. Shut up, Jack. Very important. Elliott Shore Parks of the Go Birds podcast joins us now. Elliott.
What's up? How you guys doing?
Oh, Elliott, this is the most anticipated phone call of the day next to Herb, of course. Elliott.
Always.
Elliott, so you were just at the open locker room after Eagles practice today. Did A.J. Brown speak to the media?
Yes, A.J. Brown did speak to the media. He talked to the media a few minutes after we got in there. So it was clear he wanted to address this. He was not hiding from it or anything. So to set the scene, the locker room opens. There's a huge circle of reporters around his locker. Everyone is waiting for him to come in. He comes in. He started with a statement, which I would say is a little different normally than how these things go. He basically said he let the frustrations get the better of him. His tweet was not directed at any one person. It wasn't at the coaches, the quarterback, the GM. He basically just said, I was frustrated. I let it get the better of me. That was his statement. I asked him, how his chemistry is with the quarterback. He said the chemistry is good. He was asked if he is happy in Philadelphia. He said he was. He said this is his home. He mentioned at one point that the coaches, like Sirianni and him, FaceTime all the time. There was other things he said. I don't know if you want me just to keep going.
Keep going.
Okay, all right. So he also said that, the passing game has to be better, that the defense and the special teams have, in his words, like low-key carried them. He said that when they run into, his words, a serious team, that the passing game and the offense could be the reason they lose, and then they're learning from losing as opposed to learning from winning. He talked about how last year the running game was obviously historic, but the passing game was, not good, essentially, and that it's this year that's the same case. So he said he is confident that it will be fixed. So that was kind of it. He talked for like 8 minutes. I would say that's a summary of everything he said.
Well, I mean, he said the right things. Mm-hmm. I don't believe him that it wasn't directed at anybody because it doesn't matter, truthfully. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It doesn't do anyone any good for him to come out and say it was directed at Jalen, it was directed to Kevin Petullo, it was directed at Nick Sirianni. He took you know, this is a very adult, very responsible thing to take the responsibility on himself, yeah. But also be honest and say the pass game isn't good enough. And if they run into a tough team, he doesn't want the offense to be the reason that they lost. I think we would all agree with everything he said. They've been carried by the defense and the special team so far, largely, yeah. You know?
I would also say, just from being there, like, I think you could feel the seriousness of the situation. Like, I've been at a lot of these things, right, where it's like someone says something and then everyone's waiting for him to talk. And sometimes they can feel a little more casual. This did feel like, you know, I am going to give a statement. I will take a few questions. Like, I think that you could tell that they're aware of how big of a story this has been the last few days. I also thought, like, of the noteworthy things, him mentioning he FaceTimes with Sirianni and Petullo, to me feels very noteworthy. Like, talk about their relationship. I know there's been a lot of speculation that it could have been about them. I think the FaceTiming and all yes. that, like, makes it clear. So those would be,
yeah, but
you know,
not FaceTiming, but not FaceTiming the quarterback.
So he did say, because when I asked him, like, how much has he talked to Jalen, he said, you know, in the meetings, they talk, obviously. And he said on the sideline, he's not really talkative, that he kind of, you know, lets Jalen do his thing. He didn't say Jalen specifically, but he was saying, you know, letting the offense work its things out, and he lets the game come to him. He said the idea, and I'm paraphrasing, but the idea that, you know, he's demanding the ball is silly, because he doesn't even stand in the offensive huddle. Like, he mostly just keeps to himself during the game. And I think, you know, if you watch him on the sideline, I don't know how much they normally show on the broadcast, but that is true. Like, you don't really see him in these huddles. So he does kind of keep to himself.
Well, hold on.
Well, shouldn't he be?
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not a positive.
Wouldn't that be?
I think he means like, and I'm guessing here, but, you know, like, during a timeout or when Jalen will talk to Petullo and Sirianni, like, he's not in that. He is in the huddle on the field. Like, okay. when they're relaying the play. I think he meant more, he's not on the sideline going to Petullo and Jalen saying, give me the ball, give me the ball. Right. I think that's what he was trying to say.
Hmm. Well,
he also said, you know, he was asked what the reaction has been in the locker room. And he said, unless people are lying to him, that, you know, it's been good. He said he thinks he's still popular. He laughed, like, and there was a bit of like laughter, I would say, from the teammates that walked by, like, knowing, you know, how this was being treated as a big deal, you know, joking about the fact, oh, AJ has to talk to the media. So there was like a bit of a lightheartedness from the players there. I just thought there was a seriousness in how he handled it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure that was, whether it was on his own or whether it was conveyed to him by his coaches that or other players, that we can't have this. And I also, you know, this isn't just because I'm part of the media. I'm glad he didn't blame the media. I'm glad he didn't do the thing where you took this out of proportion, right, or you took this out of context or what. It was clear to everybody. We weren't clear exactly who he was mad at, but it was clear that the tweet was about the play on the field and him not getting the ball. And I'm glad that he owned up to that. And you know what? At least for now, this diffuses it for now.
For now.
But then we see on Sunday and then see what happens after that. So
yeah, my only thing would be is moving forward. Like, he's already had these little dust ups and then he addresses it and we're all ready to move on from it. You know, in part because nobody wants this to be hanging over the team where it tears the team apart. You certainly want him to feel like he's welcome and wanted being here, so he doesn't want to be badgered with this. But we also have seen where he can be okay or content for a little while, and then it comes back up.
Right.
Like, we've seen that as well. Oh, like, we've seen that as well. And well, so it would not surprise me if there's another time this year where he's frustrated if things don't change.
And, yeah, two things off of that. One, I mean, I thought the comment saying the passing game wasn't good last year and still isn't this year, like, that's like a little peak, maybe not a peak, but like a peak in how he feels this thing is going, right, in terms of the passing game.
Yep.
And AJ is an interesting guy, like, from – because I do think it is 1,000% true. He wants the ball more. He's frustrated he's not getting the ball more. Like, 1,000%. But I also think there is a lot of truth into a portion of why he wants the ball more is because he knows the team is better when he has the ball.
Yes,
like,
yes.
So I don't think, and that's what makes it an interesting dance for him, is I don't think it's all selfishness.
No.
Like the tweet and putting it out.
It's selfish
it
when you tweet and put it out.
Yes, exactly.
Like that's
correct.
Like understand, like, Ellie, I'm with you. I think everybody understands that part, but the story is because there's a tweet that was put out there.
No,
there,
for sure.
This wouldn't be a story if it was no tweet.
100%. I guess what I'm trying to reference from being there is, like, I've heard callers all week and just some people saying he'd rather have numbers than win. I know it can't be, like, it could be both. I just never gotten the sense from him that he would rather be on a 3-15 team and get numbers. Like, I do think he wants to win, and I do think that's where the frustration in the passing game comes from.
Yeah, and there's only 17 games in an NFL schedule, not 18, but also,
for the training camp, there's the win-losses in training camp.
Oh, right. Yeah, I fully believe, we were saying this last segment, he just believes they're better when it's him.
Yeah.
Now, like, and I don't think he'll ever think differently about that, and I don't think the choice...
And nor should he.
Yes, and I don't think the choice is be on a bad team with great stats or be on a good team with no stats. You should be on
Correct.
Is good enough to be on a great team with stats, and then everything's solved.
So then it goes back to being efficient in the passing game.
Yes.
Right? Because that's really what it boils down to. You know the coaches have plays in there for A.J. Brown.
Yes, and of course the passing game is
like
good
enough. He knows that there are plays in the game plan for him, and he expects when he goes out there on Sunday and they call these plays and he's open, he wants the ball.
And by the way...
And he's going to get frustrated when he doesn't get the ball. So real quick, that goes back to the quarterback having to play better.
Yes.
Like, as much as we want to protect Jalen, and I'm guilty of that as well, the fact of the matter is, you're the one who's controlling the ball coming out and getting the ball to the receivers. So his frustration, a lot of it is, whether it's ball placement, whether it's timing, or, you know, because the balls are coming late or you throw one out of bounds. Like, that's where his frustration is really coming from. Like, we can admit that it's not that he's not getting his number called. It's the ineffectiveness of the passing game. And when you throw it to him, it's not effective.
And I would also say, like, to piggyback off of that, because now I think, you know, they'll want to view this chapter as closed, like this, you know, this plot line in the drama is over.
Yeah,
but like it's really not.
No.
You know, like he talked about it, and I guess now next time he talks, like if he wants to talk tomorrow, there won't be a barrage of reporting and questions.
Right.
But ultimately, it's been a year and four games of, you know, seemingly him thinking the passing game is not good enough. Until the passing game is good for 4, 5, 6 weeks in a row, like, his feelings about this will not go away. He tweeted out of frustration, but the feelings he had are there. He let them go in frustration.
Right.
But he revealed his opinion out of frustration. I think, you know, it's not solved right now because he talked.
Well, just like it wasn't solved after the second half of the Rams game.
And just like it wasn't solved when they won the Super Bowl.
Right, yeah. So.
But that Jalen was great in the Super Bowl. No denying that.
Yeah.
Super Bowl MVP.
He was.
All right. Well, should have been Josh Sweat. All right, Elliot. Great job. Thank you, as
Thank
always.
You
can get Elliot. I'm sure we'll do a pod on this, the Go Birds podcast. Another
Hold on,
AJ
are you
Brown
going there
pod.
To sit here, Jalen, too?
Jalen talked while I was on the phone with you. So, as always, I'll pick you guys over Jalen.
I thought Jalen was at 5-something.
No, they got him up there quick today.
Yeah.
Right as soon as AJ was done talking.
Jalen talks whenever he's ready.
Yeah. Did they make sure no reporters were able to get from the press conference to AJ to there to make sure the questions weren't asked?
All right. Thank you, Elliot.
All right.
Talk to you guys later.
There he is, Elliot Shurpark. All right, Jack, what are we expecting the top 5 of 5 coming up?
Once a week situations I'm monitoring here at WIMP.
Oh, man.
I always hate these because I hate being one of the situations, potentially.
Yeah, well, you're on here.
Oh, there it is. All right. 215-592-9494. What do you think of what AJ said? I think it was a good statement, but...
good statement.
We'll be watching the game on Sunday. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. We're good for now.
Yep. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.